Lord Jesus, we just come to you tonight and we depend on you and your word to teach us. We thank you for all you've given us on this subject. I pray that this will be practical and helpful. And Lord, we just thank you that you have given us what we need to renew our minds. And you've promised to help us to do whatever it is that you ask of us. We thank you for your goodness and your grace, and we give this time to you. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Okay, so I don't know if you perused any of the papers that were in your folder. How many took a look at the things that were left in there? We will look at those in just a little bit and go over those, hopefully in a helpful way. Well, let's talk about where we've been. So yesterday, we talked about, in basic, what was renewing. We talked about all kinds of reasons why we really need to renew. And I hope you walked away with just, wow, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I need to keep renewing, or I need to start renewing. I need to do more renewing. But we went through all those reasons. Anybody want to throw out a couple of reasons why we must be renewing our minds? Shirley.
To become Christ-like.
To be Christ-like.
And pleasing to him.
And glorify God. Mm-hmm. Anything else stick out from last night as to why it's so important to renew our minds?
Be obedient to God's word.
Being obedient to what he's commanded us to do. Right. That's right. Satan will use your thoughts if we don't renew them. Use our thoughts if we don't renew them. God's worthiness and grace deserves it, right? He wants our good. It's for our good. How about because of how much we think all the time we are thinking? Because there's no abiding with Christ. Remember that? There's no true abiding with Christ without renewing your mind. There's no transformation into Christ's likeness. I think that's kind of what Shirley was hitting on. Without renewing our minds, there's not real true peace and joy and freedom from things without renewing our minds. And the last one has to do with what's helping us to not, what's working against us in renewing our minds. That was going to, what's corrupting the world, Satan, ourselves, our own flesh. So that was where we went, and we ended with a little fuller explanation about what renewing is. And tonight, we want to just think about what it means to renew a thought at one time, and how do we do this thing effectively? And not be overwhelmed by it, but to begin renewing our mind. And I know that many of you do renew your minds. I was talking to a woman this evening who just explained how she couldn't have got through a circumstance had she not really written down her thoughts. And that's something I want to encourage you women to do, and that's journal your thoughts. Write down when you're having difficulty or you're really tempted, or you're seeing a sin pattern in your life. Write down what you're thinking, and don't just leave it there. Take it to the Lord, and remember the Lord can help you with those thoughts. But that's the beginning place for renewing. Once we get those things down on paper, it's a little easier to deal with them. So I really want to encourage you in that. So how do we renew our mind? And I've been reminded to please stay in front of the mic. So if you see me moving, you can tell me. All right, so one thought at a time. How we renew our minds. I want to say something about introspection, being overly introspective and morbidly introspective. I know that we can sometimes fall into this. That's not renewing your mind. Some of us have a habit of overthinking, overanalyzing our problems and our sins, and we tend to really fall into just condemning ourselves and kind of get stuck there. And as we of course, the evil one loves that. And he's right there accusing you as well and just wanting to keep you in that space of just looking at yourself and your thoughts and your sin. But as we seek to be renewing our minds more and more, we need to count on the work of Jesus through the cross as we're doing this. And on God's promise to grow us. He's promised he's going to grow us. It may seem a little painstaking at times, but we're not to give up. He's promised to help us and to grow us, and he will. So that should help us not to be overwhelmed by this. And then also, the goal is not to figure yourself out or over-contemplate, again, your sin or your problems, but over-contemplate Jesus and his answers. You know, make that turn to where we're really going to get stuck on who Christ is and what he says and what his answers to our simple thoughts or our anxious thoughts or our depressing thoughts. So be careful that you don't get stuck and don't get into all kinds of self-discovery and think you have to unravel everything. I mean, we hear these things a lot, that, you know, all the answers are just self-actualization, self-awareness, and it's kind of a bottomless pit. So wallowing in or continuing to dissect things is not repentance, and it's not renewing. So just ask God. We want to just ask God to examine us and teach and reveal things to us, and he will. He's very faithful to do that, and it will be clear. You're not going to have to wonder and try to figure out and all of those type of things. We want to stick with the obvious, okay, by asking what are the ruling things that are very clear and screaming at me, stick to that. So Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 helps us with our focus as we seek to lay aside old ways of thinking. It says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run the race with endurance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And I'm just going to stop there. But that's a good verse for us to remember in renewing. Now, having said those things, how do we practically renew the mind? Okay, we are going to first practically renew the mind by purposing to pay attention. Now, it's different from introspection, and we're going to talk about how you can do that without being introspective. A good prayer and a way to engage in this purpose of paying attention is to commit to memory and really try to have the spirit of Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's a good thing to commit to memory and to pray that the Lord would help to instill in you. And a good place to start to be able to pay attention is to familiarize yourself with the kinds of wrong thinking there are. I mean, a lot of us just have gone through life or maybe going through life and we're not really even recognizing the kinds of thoughts that we're thinking and how wrong they are and how opposite they are to where we really should be going. I know that was certainly me. So you had a diagram in your folder. I call it the upward and downward diagram. And it's, what are my thought patterns? Where do I live? And the top of this diagram is, actually I have that on here. The top is God's way of thinking, a Christ-like way of thinking, the way that we need to think that will be for God's glory and for our good. And the results of the thinking, if we do what we can to stay in the top there, would be reward. The Lord rewards us for our obedience in that area. Blessing, definitely will be blessed. You will be blessed the more you renew your mind. It's encouraging, it's strengthening, it's useful, it's fruitful. It's God honoring, and it's God glorifying, and it's obedient. So there's actually a lot of things we can think about. You know, this is not an exhaustive list, of course, but we have a lot there that we can think about. God, all my hope and treasure, the gospel truths, others good, thankfulness, trusting thoughts, hopeful thoughts. Of course, we need scripture, right, to help us do that. So that's the top. Now, the bottom is where we sometimes go. Let's admit we are down there on occasion, way too often, probably. So these thoughts are the kinds of thoughts that we need to be able to recognize so that we can make that turn. We can turn to the Lord and begin to make the turn to renew. And of course, the results of this kind of thinking are listed on the left side there. They're disobedient, right? And they're really discouraging and depressing, sinful, not useful, unfruitful, unprofitable, maybe discipline-inducing if you will not change, and the Lord is trying to get you to change in an area. Loving discipline, though. He's doing it out of love. Enslaving. These kinds of thoughts are very enslaving. Because why? Why would that be? They appeal to our flesh, right? Every one of them. And it just, our flesh can just grab on. And of course, then we have Satan in the mix encouraging them as well. They're, like I said, they're very satisfying to the evil one. They can end in not only depression, but suicidal thoughts. And unfortunately, if someone just goes and goes and goes with this kind of thinking, it could end in acting on those suicidal thoughts. And we just don't want to be on this bottom part. And we need to begin to commit to the Lord that this is not our desire. And if we're a believer and we love the Lord, they're not. But if you haven't worked through every one of these and said, wow, okay, envious thoughts are really sinful and not right how I need to be thinking, and there are thoughts that need to be renewed. But there's all kinds of thoughts here, and some of them maybe you haven't really thought of before. So I would encourage you to go through that. If we were to try to categorize some of these a little bit, we can, here's some categories. Some of our thoughts are just flat out lies, right? They're just not true. For instance, others don't struggle with sin like I do. Okay, that is not true. there's a lot of people who struggle in the ways that you do, because sin is common to man. And there's people that are growing as well, but it's not that they've never struggled with sin, and it's not that they don't have a struggle with sin. I'll never change, or he'll never change. This life is just too hard. I cannot help how I respond. Okay, these are out and out lies, or half truths. Okay, we're good, really good at half truths, or thoughts that they just leave God out. Maybe they're even true, but we just leave God out. You know, it just might be fact. I'm lonely, or my child's not saved, or I don't know enough of the Bible, or, I mean, it could be anything, but if we just leave God out of it, it works really well for Satan's purposes, and we need to add to that, even if it's true. Things like, I don't know what to do. You know, that might be very true, but we need to bring in some of God's truth, who God is and what he can do, and some things into that thought. How about discouraging or hopeless thoughts? Okay, that's a whole category. This is just so sad. Everything is ruined. There's no hope for me. Okay, so just discouraging thoughts. Maybe I can't do this and I can't do that. And I, you know, that just something that might be discouraging to you. How about angry or vengeful thoughts? That's fine. See if I care. I will never let him hurt me again. I'll show him. Okay. How about judgmental or proud thoughts? You know, a lot of times it's just a real focus on ourselves, right? Look what I've done, or I'm just so upset. I can't do what that woman can do. I can't seem to organize my life the way she can, or the other flip side of that, which is, wow, I don't know what her problem is, right? How about regretful thoughts? Those are ones that will really trip us up, right? If only I had not. If only this were not true in my life. How about envious thoughts? Daydreaming or fantasizing or rejecting reality. Memories, just memories, thinking about memories, or maybe even flashbacks if you've been through a real tragic circumstance. But if we don't take those memories and those flashbacks and begin to renew them, they will plague us on and on and on. But they don't have to, right? They don't have to. And it's a matter of renewing our minds. Those all too familiar anxious or fearful thoughts. Presumptuous thoughts, that's another good one we can fall into. You know, I know why this or that. I know what he's thinking. Someone may say something or do something and you know what was behind it. And that's a very sinful thought, way of thinking. And we need to renew those kinds of thoughts. How about self-focus? We mentioned that self-focus, judging God or doubting God. Self-pity, that's another good one. We so easily can fall into self-pity if we start thinking in the wrong way and we just keep going, we will fall into self-pity. And that's a terrible place to be. It's a real trap. And we need to take those self-pity as soon as they pop in there, you know, that my life is not what someone else's life is. No one has it as bad as I do. Those kinds of thoughts. Let's see. That's good enough. We'll just keep moving on. But those are some categories, and we need to be paying attention to those kinds of things. Ask the Lord to help you. Once you've gone over this, ask the Lord to help you to recognize, and he will. And the more we are trying to renew our minds, the more we'll realize. And I know for me, I mean, I was the queen of stinky thinking. There's nobody in here that has more bad thoughts than me. When I was really getting the discipleship counseling that I needed, I was told, you know, to write down, you know, I was having a terrible time. I think I told you I was really, really depressed. I had moved to suicidal thoughts and thoughts that my family, my husband would all be better off without me. And so I was told to do, you know, journal my thoughts. And she wanted me to write down as many thoughts as I could think of about the situation. And I filled up so many pages. It was really depressing. But I had, you know, not only circumstantial things that I had real struggle with and past things, but I had, like I said, I lived for the approval of others. So there's a whole host of thoughts that come with that. And while it was overwhelming at first, once you start working, and the more you do it, it's kind of like a lot of your thoughts are connected to the same kinds of things. It's really not as many as you might think they are once you really start working on them. But all the Lord asks is for you to just take the first one and work it through, and then you can take another one and work it through. So now, the best way, one of the very best ways for us to renew our mind is by confessing. Oh, excuse me. One of the best ways, we don't want to do that yet. One of the best ways for us to pay attention is to, A, when you're, to be aware of the surefire signs that thinking has gone wrong. Okay, we don't have to go around wondering, okay, what am I thinking? What am I thinking? What am I thinking? We don't have to do that, because there are really glaring signs that will tell us when things have gone wrong and we need to renew our minds. So can you think of anything that might be a tip-off that thinking has gone wrong and it's time to think about, to start writing down maybe what you're thinking? Yes.
I noticed a lot of the examples you gave started with the word I.
Yes.
I'm always thinking about myself and how I feel and what's good for me.
Yes. So when you feel you're just so inward, self-focused, you just really, a lot of your thinks, thought, like you said, thoughts are I or self. Anything else come to mind?
Maybe kind of how we're responding to others, like if we're getting really snarky or snappy. Or
exactly.
Not tolerating our kids' behavior.
Exactly. We're sinning, or we're seeing sin patterns in our life especially. But we're sinning. Okay. Remember everything, remember that chart, the flow chart? Everything starts with our thinking. Okay, how about troubling or overwhelming emotions of anger, fear, anxiety, sadness, discouragement, pain, emotional pain? These are times that we know we've got to think, pay attention. What are we letting go through our, go around in our minds? What are we saying in our hearts? So praise God for those times that you do get a hold of your thoughts and you do turn to the Lord and to His kinds of thoughts. But you'll likely be surprised when you really start paying attention to the kinds of thoughts that you let flip by. And I mean, I was ashamed when I started writing down some of the things that I was thinking. I could see it when it was in black and white in front of me, just how bad it was. But somehow when you're just, you know, letting it, thinking it, or just letting it go by, or grabbing onto it, it doesn't seem so bad until you really look at it. So, all right. Certainly, I think it's important to mention that certainly a mother, a wife, a single gal, who may be distraught over what someone else is doing, needs to see her crucial need to take her thoughts captive, take her own thoughts captive, before you try to deal with the other person. Otherwise, we're not in any shape to do it in a godly way. B, some other times that we need to take note and evaluate our thoughts. Can you think of any other time before I list them off here? What might be other times that you want, that would be good times to evaluate what we're thinking?
Well, I'm sort of cheating and looking at the verse that you have, but
that'll work. Yes, during a trial. Absolutely. I'm going to mention a couple others here. When someone suggests or tells you that you need to, that's pretty obvious. They're probably right, so you need to listen. How about when you're reading the Word or you're hearing the Word and the Spirit convicts you that what you've, something you've been thinking is not right? How about when someone has wronged you? Do you ever have any wrong thoughts and your thoughts go in the wrong direction when you've been sinned against? So that's a good time to really think about what are you thinking, because it's going to drive how you respond, right? So about trials, though, wrong or unprofitable thoughts, we have to realize they certainly can be understandable when someone is in an extreme trial or they've gone through an extremely tragic circumstance. Or it's not that we're saying those things aren't understandable, right? But it doesn't mean they're any less depressing, right? Or that they're holy or that they're God-honoring either. So while we give people grace and we're going to give ourselves a little grace when something unexpected happens and we have thoughts that are not good thoughts, we still have to remember that that we will do worse or better in a trial depending on whether or not we're renewing our mind in the trial, right? And everyone struggles with those initial thoughts, I think. But we dare not just continue on entertaining them or leave off the renewing. So there's a time to put your arm around someone, right, and just be there. But there's also a time to care enough to help someone deal with those prevailing thoughts that are void of God or against who God is or, you know, unprofitable and destructive. You know, even in trials, it's okay to help people in that way. They need help in that way. What you don't want to do is to just give them some pat answer for their trial. No, you want to listen. What are they saying? What are their thoughts? And how can you speak to that specifically with God's truth? And 9 times out of 10, they're gonna really appreciate it. Because it's not just some little pat answer that you're gonna try to say, you know, when trials are in our lives, right? It just needs to be a really specific to what's going on in their heart, how they're struggling in their heart. And they almost always will appreciate that. Okay, also in trials, you know, some of God's main desires and intention in trials is actually to love us more, to be more known to us, to be God to us, to be good to us in some really very important way that we need. We might not know it, you know, when we're initially in it, but God means to do so much when we're in a trial, so much for us, so much in us. But that's not going to happen if we're not renewing our minds in a trial either, okay? Okay, so secondly, we also renew our minds by confessing and beginning to turn. Okay, we don't want to leave off confession about our thoughts. Now, I'm talking about those thoughts. It's not just a fleeting thought that just comes in, because, I mean, sometimes, honestly, you can go, where did that come from? And it's possible, you know, from different scriptures, it does seem like that Satan can, you know, in the day of testing, sort of plant things. So I'm not talking about when something just comes in and you just can readily go, whoa, that is really, you know, not right, and you can think why it's not right. But I'm talking about those thoughts where we know we really do kind of we do are believing them, you know, we're entertaining them. First of all, perhaps there's been an overall lack of renewing and of not loving God with all your mind. I encourage you to just take that to the Lord, and maybe you did that last night, you know, to, you know, really confess that to the Lord and receive his forgiveness for that. Also, we need to confess those specific thoughts that we are thinking that are not godly, that are not true, that are not lovely, that are not hopeful, thankful, trusting. when we have them, we need to have confession. Isaiah 55:7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Jay Adams has so wisely said that confession is the gate to repentance. It's actually the gate to the path of repentance or the path to change. So we're not going to get anywhere, right? If confession is the gate to the path of repentance and change without confession, but we must confess and trust in the cross, right? Trust in the cross over our sin and what Christ has done. But a confession alone is not renewing, really, either. It's not fully repenting of our wrong thinking. Real repentance means taking action in God's direction, not just trying to stop the wrong thinking. Because actually, it's really pretty impossible to stop thinking something. It really is. I mean, let's just, you know, I'm going to stop thinking. I'm not going to think about a big, hairy spider. I'm not going to think about a big, hairy spider. I'm not going to think about a big, it doesn't work. You have to replace it with something else. So the third way that we're going to renew our minds is by asking good questions about our thought. We can ask ourselves good questions. And some of those questions are, what can and should Christ and the gospel mean to me right now? Okay, let's just say you really blew it. You sinned. Again, the same thing. You got really angry with your children. And you've been through this so many times, and you've tried to work on this so much. And the gospel needs to mean something to you at that point. The gospel truths that Christ died for your sins, and that there's forgiveness there, and you know the gospel that the Spirit is in you and He can change you. You need those things at a time like that. So, what should Christ and the gospel mean to me right now? That's something you can ask yourself if you're struggling with your thoughts. How about B? Does what I'm dwelling on have to have who God and His Does what I am dwelling on have who God is and His truth even in it? Good, simple question. We kind of talked about that already, but that puts it in a question form. How about what does God say about this? How about am I focused on, concerned with God and others like Christ right now, or just me? And then how about am I turning to the truth right now? Am I working, asking God to help me to turn to the truth right now? So it's really important that we test our thoughts in this way. Romans 12, 2-3 says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may determine what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So now we come to fourth. We renew our minds, and actually the crux of renewing our minds is by actually replacing the old man thinking with new. Okay, so we can do all the recognizing we want, and we can do all the testing that we want, and we can say, yes, it's wrong, and I can see that I don't have these things in this thought. But until we actually start replacing and taking up those thoughts that we need to take up, renewing's not taking place. And we're it's falling short, and it's not going to be effective. So we're talking about, in a specific and concrete way, A on your notes, we're talking about crafting a new thought. Please don't write down your thoughts and become aware and pray about your thoughts and say, Lord, I recognize this is wrong, and please forgive me, and then leave it there. You know, help me not to think this way anymore, and leave it there. Because it's until we replace, God says we have to put on. We're not just trying to put off, we have to put on. And it's actually the putting on that helps us to put off. So you want to change these patterns of thinking, you've got to put on something different. So we have to assault the old thought with God and His promises, His perspective, His commands. 2 Corinthians 10:5 we've looked at already, but we are destroying speculations and every lofty thought raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So calling on God, we take a God void, angry, hopeless, unprofitable, fearful, and or self-focused vein of thinking, and we're going to love God with our mind by purposing to craft a new thought. Okay? But can anybody tell me a problem we might run into? Anything that might actually make it impossible for us to renew our mind and actually put on new thinking? Exactly. What if we don't, number one, we're not in the Word. We don't know enough of the Word. None of us knows enough of the Word, right? but what if we can't think of what we need to change it to? And that is very, very common. When you're in the middle of something, it can often be very difficult for you to see outside of it, especially if it's been a pattern of thinking that has gone on and on and on for years. It's hard to see what else is out there. And if you're not really in the Word enough, you won't see what else is out there that you could think and how you could renew that thought. So we desperately need to be in the Word ourselves, right, and thinking how it applies to our thoughts. But there's more good news. I do have some resources that you can use to help in some of that, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Like I said, surely none of us have all of God's truth at our fingertips. We don't, and it's very hard to think sometimes of truth that we need, and perhaps we need assistance, right? And even when we do know, like I said, a great deal, suppose we know a lot. You know, we've sat under teaching for a long time, but we do know a lot. But somehow, it just goes out the window at certain times, doesn't it? And so we need to purposefully try to deal with some of those thoughts when they're not going on, right? Okay, so that brings me to, by actually replacing the old with the new. That's not what I want to do. Okay, so you don't have this in your notes. So this replacing the old with the new is going to happen both on the spot. You're going to try to do your best on the spot, right? That's the most important time, is it? On the spot, okay, this, I know I'm not thinking right. Lord, help me to just think about you, and I'll give you a real good way that you can begin to almost turn things around in an instant. And this with one phrase. And Philippians 4 sort of clues us in. And that is to say, Lord, I thank you that. Okay? Lord, I thank you that is going to be one of the quickest ways you can start going in a different direction. And you're going to be trying to think, what about God will apply to what you're saying? You know, I thank you that you are, I thank you that you say, I thank you that you promise. That will be very helpful. Okay, so on the spot, when in this immediate, we do the best we can, but usually we also need to go after, we need to take some time to work on that thought that we know needs renewing. Of course, the more we renew, the more we're in the Word, the more we can do it better on the spot. I promise you, the more you're doing it, the easier it gets to recognize things and to remember the truth that, yeah, I had to put that on about the last thought I had. So, but we must apply ourselves to mining from God's Word really specific and effective. If you've thought of some truth and it's just, if it's not quite hitting what you're thinking, it's not going to be effective. So you want to take the time, you almost, very common, I'll say most of the time, you need to take some time after. So just when you're in a situation and you're realizing your thinking's going wrong, just keep a pad somewhere near you and just Just write down what you're thinking and say, okay, Lord, can't think right now. Can't stop right now. I've got kids to feed. I've got, you know, a place to be or whatever. But Lord, later I'm going to sit down with this and I'm going to ask your help to renew this. We do that so it's ready for the next time. Okay, because it's going to come around again. Especially those things that we're in the habit of thinking, it will come around again. And God wants us to be ready for that and to really renew it, take the time to renew it so that we can use it. All right, and if we're sincere, if we are sincere about renewing, we're going to use all the resources that are at our disposal. Okay? Internet searches are wonderful. What you can do when you have a thought and you're ready to sit down and try to work on it, of course, first and foremost, we pray. We ask the Lord to help us, to be honest, and to see what we need to do with it, right? And then after that, if you just look at your thought and you circle the topics in it, okay, that's going to be really good places for you to start with trying to find what God has to say about that or promises about that. But you can just circle the topics. The NAVES Topical Bible. Of course, there's a lot of resources online like that. The Body of Christ. Don't be so proud that you won't go to the Body of Christ for help with the thought. It's one of the best things we can do. You know what? I have this thing going on, and I've had this thought. I know it's wrong, and I'm really struggling with putting it off. What can you give me from the Word of God that's going to help really hit this thing? And we need to have the humility to do that. And we want to talk to people who really do know God's Word well, you know. Some scripture resources that are going to be posted, I believe, on your church website. I'm not sure. We'll have to ask Mark if you're interested. Definitely ask him where you can find these. But I've given some resources. I've given a document on the promises of God. And you can take your thought and you just go write down those promises and say, well, that really hits that, you know. So there's the promises of God. There's a document of righteous alternatives. This is sinful. This is righteous. And a whole bunch of verses for the sinful side, because we want to realize what God says about that, but we also want to put on the righteous, right? So that's another document. I have given you something that is called the Why Me study. It's for people that have had bad things happen to them or extreme trial. It's a lot of truth and a lot of verses there that could be helpful. And I've also given something I call the Life Perspective document. It is just all kinds of topics and verses about life perspective. And so, and then I've also given Who We Are in Christ. It's a long document. It's just verses. It's just who we are and the verses that back that up. Who we are in Christ and the verses that back that up. So you have those things. And then I also have given you, and I think you may have found that in your notebook,
Type of situation, and I asked her what verses helped you through it.
Yeah, they've already been there.
Yes.
And they've already had to find those things. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's really good. Thank you, Shirley. Okay, so also, I gave you a thought worksheet, right? Mm-hmm. And we are going to go through that. But before we do, like I said, then we have to practice. And I've skipped over a little bit. I believe that you have there's some really important things that you need to include in your thought when you renew it. You need to include, and we get this from Philippians 4:6, both thankfulness and scripture, of course. It's got to have scripture in it. Scriptural phrases. I like to use scriptural phrases and make it my own. It's a prayer. Philippians 4 also talks about, you know, we want to bring our requests to the Lord. ending with a commitment and a godly action is really helpful to solidify those new thoughts. So I will now trust you in this way, or do this now. So ending with a commitment and a godly action. E, we do this renewing dependently to cooperate with God's work. It is not just up to God to change you. And it's really presuming upon the Spirit to think that way, and testing God to assume that He's going to do everything, you know, in our sanctification and our renewing. So it's both working together. Colossians 1:29, Paul says, "For this purpose I labor, striving according to His power, which works mightily within me." It's both. We cooperate with what God is trying to do, and we put our efforts in what God is doing. And the more we do, the more God works. You know, James tells us we're blessed in the doing. It's when we start doing that God even works more. Okay, so the fifth thing here is that we have to practice it. We have to dependently exercise ourselves unto godliness. We have to have it ready, because we have to be committed that the next time that thought comes up, we're going to be ready. And I can't encourage you enough for a pattern of thinking that you're having, to put it on a card, put it on an index card, so you'll have it and you can use it when those anxious times come, and those fearful times come, or, you know, the temptation comes for what you're trying to put off. Thought cards can be very, very helpful. Work on memorizing scripture, the scripture that you put in them. Proverbs 23:19, the father of Proverbs wisely told his son, "Direct your heart in the way." Direct your heart in the way. And that's what God wants us to do. When over and over, when that thought comes up, and it will be renewed. If you will do that, the old way of thinking can become obsolete. It's not that the memory is completely gone, but it's the path is going to become basically inoperable, virtually unused per se. And maybe once in a blue moon it might come up and, you know, be something that, but you're going to know exactly what to do with it, and you're going to go right down the other direction. And the more you practice going down this direction, the more that's what's going to happen. Then when that instance or that problem arises, you'll find yourself one day being faithful. You will find yourself, that happened and I didn't go there. I just went right down to God's truth and to a renewed thought and thinking God's way. It's a real joy for people who are caught in living like for the fear of man, or living in fear and living with anxiety. Okay, we're trying to move along here because we're running out of time. This is what I was just explaining. It's a diagram by George Sanchez in a little booklet on thoughts that's not in print anymore. But that just shows, this is like the ground of our mind, and we can have an event or something happen or an opportunity to sin or whatever, and depending on our thoughts, we're going to go in a certain direction, and that's going to lead to destructive and overwhelming emotions. It's going to help us to sin and all that. But as I was explaining, if we just practice, we have our thought and we use it each time, we're going to have a new path that we build for God's glory. Okay, so here I want to just point out to you, I do want to get to these examples, so we're going to run over just a little bit. I'm trying to find mine, but I'll just look on here. All right, so this is very similar to your... Okay, well, I had the first one second, but... This is very similar to your form, not exactly, but let's walk through this just a little bit. So if you'll look to the left, of the form, you're going to see what we're trying to do here. You're going to, especially if something is happening, or maybe it already has happened and then you're looking back, but we're going to stop and we're going to just ask ourselves, okay, what happened? And what, just briefly, what did I do in response? Then we're going to focus. We're going to try to say, what am I thinking? Lord, help me think about what I've been, was saying in my heart. And then turn to the Lord who is at hand. This form walks right down Philippians 4 when it gives instruction on how to handle anxious anxiety and anxious thoughts. So it's, you know, we have to turn to the Lord. And then it says, make a request. So we're going to pray. And we're going to have thanksgiving in that prayer. And that's where the thankfulness comes in. Then we're going to zero in. So up here, you may write down a whole bunch of thoughts and feelings that you're having or that you've had about it or that keep floating around in your mind. But you're going to try to take maybe...
You're not at the mic.
Thank you. You're going to take maybe the very crux of what's all up there and try to formulate basically what you're thinking. You know, at least take one. You don't want to try to deal with a whole bunch of thoughts, but a lot of times they're connected and you can make one kind of long, complete thought from them, or at least take the most troubling thought that's up there. And you want to just, you want to see it in black and white. You want to be able to look at it for what it is. Oh, dear. Pushed the wrong button. Okay. All right, so then next, you're going to assault. It says, think on these things. Okay? You're going to assault your thinking with the truth. And we're going to pray for help to apply God's character, his perspective, commands, promises. And you want to, remember those topics I said to circle in your thought? You're going to put those topics down on the left. And then you're going to try to, you want some, think of biblical truth. And you can probably do more of this than you think, and maybe, I'm not saying that none of you have been doing that. But I'm just saying if this is new to you, you can probably think of more biblical truth than you think. But what you need most is on the far right, and that's the passages and the verses, and you need to write them out and really go over those with the Lord. You really need to write them out and talk to the Lord about them and take them up. So then finally, we don't really actually repent of our old thinking until we come up with new thinking, right? So we're going to take all this truth, and by the way, if you flip the paper over, I think you have more room for this truth up here. Most often, you're going to need more than two things to look at in your thought. It's amazing how many topics can really be involved in a thought that we're thinking. So then we've got to really, once we've done that, then we look at the truth that we've found and the verses that we've found, and it's really not that hard then to come up with the new thinking. And you just, you're going to start, Lord, I thank you that. And you're going to start putting truth in there and putting what is right and the promises or the godly thinking. And it's going to make a difference. And then in Philippians 4, it talks about what you've learned and received from me. Do. So is there anything I can do about this situation? To help the situation or to obey the Lord in the situation? That needs to be answered as well. And then finally, am I committing to repent in the future to renew the old thought with the new one? Am I willing to do what God wants me to do about this situation with planning and prayer? So this is not an inspired thing. It's just a way that can guide you in doing what we've been talking about. And to see all the steps, at least, that are involved in really renewing your mind. So you might try it out. It can be very, very helpful. Okay, so what are some examples? I hope we're not going to get in trouble here, but Are you guys okay if we go like 5 more minutes? Okay. Examples, biblical examples. I'm going to not actually walk you through the passages. I'm going to ask you to do that, but we're going to talk about them a little bit. Lamentations 3. If you read in that chapter where Jeremiah starts, his thinking is really, really off. I mean, God is a bear out to get him, and it's just, he's really thinking poorly. And then you see this amazing turn in his thoughts, and it's because he starts bringing God in and bringing truth in, and he ends up in an amazing place, right? Have you read, you know what I'm talking about, the passage in Lamentations 3? We'll read just the end of it. Oh, by the way, and you can see in this passage exactly him, all his bad thinking and what it leads to. I have forgotten. He's doing all this thinking, and then he says, surprise, surprise, I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. This is what happens when we don't think properly. And so has my hope from the Lord. Okay? Those are the results of his thinking. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. Is it, you know, of course. And this is what we do too. But this, and then he makes a turn, but this I call to mind. And he just starts naming off the steadfastness of the Lord. His mercies never come to end. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, and the Lord is good to those who wait for him, and good to wait for the salvation of the Lord. And he ends up in a much better place, and he's realizing the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he cause, or is the remote cause, allow, and by that it means allow grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not afflict from his heart or purposely desire to grieve the children of men. He desires to be everything we need in it. Anyway, so he turns it up in a completely different place. We have a very similar thing in Psalm 73, right, where the psalmist is talking, seeing the wicked and how they're prospering, and boy, he really gets in a bad way to the point where he's embittered against the Lord, and he's like a beast before the Lord. And then he makes that turn, and the thoughts are so precious, and he ends up totally in a different place. And he says, the nearness of God is my good. I don't need all these things that the unsaved seem to have. The nearness of God is my good. So those are two examples, biblical examples, of that you can see where someone's, you know, renewing their mind, the bad results of not, and then the good results of when they turn their thinking and put on the right kind of thinking. So I have a couple of thoughts here. How are we doing? I don't think they're going to... Last night we got out at this time and the guys were still going. So if you need to go, I understand. All I'm going to do is just give you some specific. There have been many, many, many people that I have sat with who have been in really difficult situations, really entrenched in sin, who have renewed their minds. And I've had all these opportunities to see how their thoughts can be renewed. So here's a couple. This is like they've worked through all of this form, right? The process. They've taken their thought through the process. They've had the opportunity to look up all the verses and to really think about what they mean and what they should mean and all that. So it's not like, you know, you can just really quick necessarily jump from here to there. It does take that interaction with the word and truth of God and thinking about it and praying about it. So here's one for you. This is too hard. I just can't do it anymore. or I just can't do it. And here's the renewed thought. And most often, we have to have a whole group of thoughts to battle our old thought, right? Lord, I thank you that nothing is too hard for you. And because of the cross, your spirit is in me, able to strengthen me to do all the things that are wise and that you ask of me. I thank you I can be strengthened with all power according to your glorious might. I will trust your promise, yea, I will help you, and begin doing this now. You are my strength and my shield. In you my heart will trust and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Wow. Now, that's different, right? If you keep thinking, this is too hard, I just can't do it, and it'll be too hard, you can't do it. But how different is that thinking if you were to, when that comes in your mind, you were to put on this kind of thinking? How about, what will they think of me? Or what are they thinking of me? Or I want them to think well of me. She's going to think blank about me. I wonder what she's thinking about me. Okay, so you could start out this way. Lord, I thank you for your acceptance because of Christ and the cross. And I praise you that you have set your love on me, even though I don't deserve it. But life is not really about me. I know that if I seek to please men, I cannot be a servant of Christ. Please give me your love and help me not to focus on myself, but right now take interest in and serve others for your glory. Okay? I'm going to change a situation where you're going into a room and you're nervous about what everybody's going to think of you, or and you're just focused on yourself. So that's an example. How about, this trial hurts so much. I feel devastated by what I never expected. I don't understand how or why this is happening, why you have allowed this, God, or why you're doing this to me. How depressing. How hard is that going to be, and how not glorifying to God for us to run that through our minds. But here's a renewed thought. Lord, I thank you for the truth that in all our affliction, you are afflicted. Okay, that's a verse. Because you are the God of all compassion. Thank you for showing me how much I need you. What a difference. Thank you for showing me how much I need you from this hurts so much. And that may be true. And God cares that it hurts, but if you keep playing in your mind, this hurts so much, where will you be? We'll be on the floor, completely incapacitated. So that's not all to this thought. You have allowed this, but you are light and there is no darkness in you. I thank you that you are a God of faithfulness without injustice. Help me, Lord, to get my bearings and learn how to honor you and follow you in this. I thank you that because you are good and do good, you will always commit yourself as being a very present help in trouble to me. And because your sovereignty rules over all, and you say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, you must have good purposes in this. I thank you that in the very least, your intention is to reveal yourself to me, be good to me, be God to me, okay, what we said before. So I will not retreat into my sorrow and my doubt or allow the evil one to use this as an opportunity, but I will press into you and your word and get godly counsel and choose to trust you and your promise that you are able to make all grace abound to me in this. I will seek to glorify you in this. Okay, it's going to put this person in a completely different spot. So I had planned for us to walk through a full sheet with someone who is fearful and wanting to, or I should say not wanting, to fly, very, very fearful of flying, and kind of walk through that with you, but we're out of time. Your husbands went through that with my husband, those of you that are married, in their session last night. So if you really want to look at it, you can. There may be a little more on my sheet than his. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But I can always send that to Travis, and he can try to post that too. But there's a lot of truth on here of how to handle fear, and you might be interested in that. And it's really neat to see the renewed thinking on that. So
that's another whole resource that you would make available. That's another. Those thoughts that you were reading would be on a sheet, right?
I could do that. I could do that. Yeah, I was thinking mainly this one we were going to walk through on the thought sheet. But yeah, I could do those. Send those to you all, and maybe they'd be helpful. But I think mostly the most helpful thing will be the actual scripture resources that I was talking about earlier. There's a lot of really good verses on there that are going to help you to renew your minds more. And I just encourage you, as you have been renewing your mind, to be more intentional and make sure we go the whole nine yards in the renewing. We don't just stop at a point, and so you can see the real change. And let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the truth of your word and your promises, who you are, and that we can bring that into our thoughts. Lord, help the garden of our thoughts to be more full of your truth and your beauty, and less weeds. Help us to learn more how to pull up those weeds and to plant what is good and what is right and what is glorifying to you. I thank you for each woman in here. I thank you for just your grace in giving these things to us. And I thank you for the hope of change and of joy and of peace. And as long as we follow your prescription for these things, and that's by the renewing of our mind. We thank you and we praise you for all these things. Amen.